fighting for America.
We are on the brink of a first in the fight against Obamacare because Republicans have never attacked the ACA with majorities in the House and the Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt. It's unpatriotic.
Fighting for you.
You have the first African-American president. You have an African-American attorney general. And 6 years into their effort, we are in some ways further apart, not close together. That's a tragic failure of leadership at the very top.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. It is 8:05. 5 after 8, 7:05 in the Pacific time zone. All of you listening in Oregon or California or someplace in between. Now, we have a new legislature coming in. And, you know, all morning long, and you listen to Fox News, and what's the big story? The new Congress, Jeb Bush, the coup on Boehner, even Fox News saying the coup's not going to happen. Why not? I was listening to our friend Sean Hannity, and I encourage you to listen to him. He's a great guy. Wonderful to have known Sean since 97, I guess. And he was talking about John Boehner, and I believe last night on the Fox News channel, he was advocating that people overthrow Boehner. Didn't really go that far on the radio. I mean, he's had Representative Gohmert on a few times. Gohmert's going to challenge Boehner. And God bless these people that are challenging John Boehner. And you know this at work and life. If you don't get the king's going to get you. But there, you know, there's anger. And one of the great things that Ronald Reagan did is that he put a happy face. He was a happy warrior. And I'm of the Buchanan school, so I'm not Mr. Happy. Mrs. Miller will tell you that when it comes to a lot of things. But, you know, there has to be a way of, I guess, repackaging the message. And it would be nice. Look, it'd be great if somebody would overthrow Boehner. But I don't think it's going to happen. So where do you, you know, people, and you know this, they always say, well, Kevin Miller, you're always talking about keeping your powder dry. Well, you keep your powder dry. It comes back to the frontier. You'd always make sure that your gunpowder was dry. So when you needed it, you could use it, right? I think that's the case when it comes to the conservative movement. We've taken a look at the health exchange. Hopefully John Roberts will, in fact, come to his senses and overturn the Obamacare, because we're about all the exemptions, all the waivers are done, and we're going to be done. I mean, fiscally, how can we afford the Obamacare, Medicaid, Medicare expansion of the government? One-sixth of the economy, my friends. One-sixth of the entire economy. Boom, gone. And has your medical conditions improved? Are you happy with your health care? Those of you that have worked hard, have done the right things, and have gotten booted, we've basically gotten rid of the, how should we play this, the godless privatized HMOs that don't give a rip about you to the government entity HMOs that don't give a rip about you. And even if you pay your premiums on time, even if you pay your bills, you can still get the boot. So what do you do? Well, you have to realize who has the high ground right now, and that's the president, that's everybody else. And in the Republican Party circles, that's John Boehner. So to attack him, does that send a message? I think it's falling on deaf ears. Is it third-party time? If people won't listen to you? Is it better than the Democrats? These are questions that need to be asked. And here in Idaho, the same way. I mean, we have a, you know, I suppose the big issue is how conservative are we? When we have Common Core in the schools, when we elected a Republican as a state school superintendent who's pro-Common Core. And Glenn Beck talks about it. We have Stacey Knutson, Stephanie Zimmerman that do marvelous work. You know, Senator Thane on Common Core. But where are we? I mean, how conservative are we? We look to the South and to our great friends in Utah for the very latest. You know, let's ask State Representative Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council, the man of the hour, just how conservative he thinks Idaho is. Good morning, sir.
Well, we've got a lot of work to do. Thanks, Kevin. There's a lot of work to do all over the nation, but, you know, it all comes back to getting back to our fundamental principles. We inherited a recipe of government unlike anything that's ever happened in the history of the world, and it was that recipe of government that brought us to peace and to prosperity. And so we need to simply get back to that. And so, you know, obviously what we're looking at is one of the only solutions big enough for as we move toward 2016 is to unleash liberty and property and self-governance. Kevin, just like Canada is doing right now with its provinces and territories, are you familiar that Canada is turning land, water, and resources over to the provinces and territories right now, and yet in the United States of America, we have an interior secretary, and we have even members of our own Congress that say, no, we can't do that. We have to have the federal government control 62% of our land just because. So huge opportunity to get back to prosperity, to get back to access to our lands, to stop the environmental degradation that you're also familiar with the ravaging catastrophic wildfires. And so what an amazing opportunity, an amazing time to stand for real, true, soft principles.
I'm with you, Ken, and I'm thinking about this. And before we get to a lot of other things, you know, I was watching this special Aerial America, and they were doing a thing on Montana, and I'm sure you're familiar with just all the ravaging that's been going on up there for years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you think about it. There was one of your commissioners in Idaho, I can't remember his name now, I think he was a Lemhi County commissioner, and he said, you know, if you think about the forest, if you had a pen, you know, a pen that you put cows in, and the pen would hold 50 cows, and you had water for 50 cows, and you had food for 50 cows, but you get the bright idea of saying, you know what, let's put 1,000 cows in there and just walk away. And, you know, what could go wrong with that? I mean, we know, right? We know they're going to get sick, they're going to die. Well, that's what we're doing in our forests. We've got these federal policies unfortunately, the poor federal workers on the ground that want to do a good job, they're shut down by litigation from these environmental, so-called environmental groups that get taxpayer dollars pursuing and shutting down the active, healthy management of our forest. And so instead of having 50 or 60 or 100 trees to an acre, which is a healthy carrying capacity for our forest, we have 600, 800, 1,000 trees to an acre. And naturally, just like the cows in the pen, they're getting sick and they're dying all over the West. And so instead of seeing healthy wildfire, which is ground, you know, the ground fire that is healthy, we have these catastrophic fires that burn the very crowns of the trees, kill millions of animals, decimate the watershed, destroy the fish, pollute the air, and destroy the habitat for generations. And so, you know, we can do better, Kevin. We can do much better. And so what we really need to do is we need to have courage, we need to stand on principle, and we need to help our federal government do those things that only it can do and do them well. Let's help our federal government focus on world peace. There's a lot of work to be done there. Let's help our federal government focus on a sound monetary system. There's a lot of work to be done there. And then the local planning and zoning and land use, we can take that from here, just like all the states east of Colorado are doing.
I'm with you, but as an elected official, as someone who's in the know here at 580 KIDO, Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council, have we jilted too far to the left nationally that we've become a nation of entitlements instead of achievement?
Well, that's a really fascinating question. You know, I was thinking about that this morning actually, and when you go back to the early 1900s, when the Western states made a big push. In the 1920s and 30s, the Western states made a big push and actually had congressional hearings that were entitled Granting Remaining Unreserved Public Lands to the States. They pushed and said, hey, wait a minute, you're nothing more than a trustee. You have to grant these lands to the states. And Congress was right at the point of a bill to grant the lands to the states. You know, all these people that say this is unconstitutional, it's nonsense. Congress grants land to the states, and they grant land to different people all the time. It's simply that we haven't had the fortitude to push the issue. So the states were right at the point of having Congress grant the lands directly to the states, and the agency stepped in and said, okay, we'll give you the land. We know we've got to give you the land. We know it's a trust responsibility. We'll give you all the surface land. We're just going to keep all the minerals in federal control. And the West, I mean, imagine, right, the federal offer you can't refuse. The Western states all banded together and said, like heck you will. You've got to keep the whole promise. You've got to transfer the surface and the subsurface. If you give us only the surface and take and keep everything that's worth anything at, that's worth anything at all, our governor at the time, George Dern, a Democrat, said, you'll leave us with nothing but the skin of a squeezed lemon. And so the state killed that deal, saying you've got to keep the whole promise. Well, then we went into the Great Depression. Then we went into World War II. And by the time the states recovered to figure out what they could do to start joining together again as a union, as a team of states, well, we were 20 years down the road. And then people just start to think, well, this is the way it is. The federal government just controls the land. That's not the way it is in America, based on liberty and property and self-governance.
Well, and Ken Ivory, as you've pointed out several times here at 580KIDO, we have the East Coast bias, where most states in the East have most of their lands, in the West, not so much.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that, though? Illinois was 96.25% federally controlled for decades. And the arguments that Illinois made, Illinois said, hey, wait a minute. We can't manage the growth and prosperity of our own state. We can't control our own revenue. You're violating the very compact of statehood. And they made that argument continuously, persistently. They rallied other states. Illinois already did this, along with Florida and Missouri and Arkansas and Louisiana. And so what's fascinating now, Kevin, that we have a representative in New Hampshire that is now introducing a resolution to support the transfer of public lands. South Carolina has already passed a resolution supporting the transfer of public lands. Representative Alan Clemens in South Carolina said, we are tired of paying for the federal government to mismanage Western lands. It's time to turn those lands over and let the people in Western communities use their own lands and resources responsibly to care for their own kids and communities. So it's just a matter of persistence. We've got to get people on board. This is a big effort. It takes a big change. But think of what we leave to our children if we do, and think of what we leave to our children if we don't.
More coming up with our with Ken Ivory here, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580KIDO, 666.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Let me be by myself.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Ken Ivory joining us from the American Lands Council. Let's talk a little bit about Utah and what's been going on there concerning your breakthroughs and getting your lands back, Ken.
Well, so I passed my bill in 2012, the Transfer Public Lands Act, and we've got a number of good representatives in Idaho that are working on studies and following on some of the things that we've done. What came out in December, we had many people there. The argument of some of the naysayers that we can't govern ourselves and manage our own lands is we can't afford to manage these lands. Well, what they forget is land is a resource. Land is an asset. Land is the very reason that rugged pioneer types came out to Idaho and Utah and the West in the first place. But nevertheless, we did a $500,000 study, a team of economists from our three top universities, and they concluded, not surprisingly, that yes, of course, we can afford to manage our own lands. So now we move forward with that. Then in my bill, we set a deadline, December 31st, 2014, for the federal government to begin working with us on an orderly transfer of the public lands, just like Canada is doing right now in good faith with its territories and provinces. Unfortunately, our federal partner has decided that they don't even want to discuss the matter with us, and they make, unfortunately, a number of condescending comments. And so now we continue to move forward. So they've clearly let that time and that opportunity that we set pass. So now it's up to the state, and we're going to move forward. We've got four basic paths forward. One, we continue to educate. It's critical that we all educate our friends and our neighbors. The statehood promises are the same. It's already been done before. It's the only solution big enough. The second step is negotiation, just like is happening up in Benoit County, Idaho. Your Benoit County commissioners and natural resource people, they're bringing the Forest Service people in and having the the courage to stand up for their jurisdiction and question them and say, why doesn't your Forest Service plan contemplate the health, safety, and welfare of our community? That kind of negotiation needs to continue forward, and what they're doing up in Benoit County is phenomenal. The third step is legislation. We need to continue at the local, state, and national level. Legislation, Congress can at any time choose to do the right thing and transfer the lands, just like it did to Hawaii, just like it did to Michigan, just like it did to all states east of Colorado, just like Canada is doing. There are members of Congress that are preparing legislation as we speak. The fourth and final step is litigation. We appropriated $2 million in Utah last year to begin building the litigation case. We're hopeful that Idaho and Wyoming and others will join us, that as a group of states, just like Illinois and Missouri and Arkansas did, where they joined together, refused to take no for an answer, we push this matter forward, and if need be, we go to the Supreme Court, and we ask the very simple question, where is the authority for the federal government to treat our states, our communities, and our children unequally, to discriminate against our communities when we have the very same statehood promises? And so we're moving forward on that. A lot more information at AmericanLandsCouncil.org. There's a petition there, Kevin. We want to get people to get on and sign that petition, to start getting on the team. We need to start mobilizing the masses so that people in Congress know we're not going to take no for an answer. This is not going away. This is the biggest issue out there because it solves so many of the problems. So get on AmericanLandsCouncil.org. You can click and sign the petition, share that with your friends, all kinds of information, share that with them as well.
Ken Ivory with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Well, Ken, let's say we break away from the feds, and like in Idaho, they contribute, 37% of our budget to the general fund. You know how the feds are. They're like drug dealers. They're gonna keep us addicted to the money.
Yeah, it's a big problem, but that's a problem that's going to solve itself. What we know is the federal funds coming to the states are already going away. So what's happening in many instances is they set up programs and they say, okay, state, you be the face of this program, and you put up a dollar and we'll give you a dollar, or we'll give you $2 or $3, but you're the face of the program. What's happening more and more is the federal money is pulling away as they have to start cutting expenses because they simply can't borrow anymore. They can't print anymore. The world is chopping up the U.S. dollar credit card as we speak. And so that money is going away, and the state's being left with all these programs that they were set up on, and the federal money's going away. That's happening as we speak. And so we have to figure out how to get to economic self-reliance. It was really fascinating, Kevin. Somebody sent me an article that in 1980, Idaho had the most millionaires per capita in the United States of America because they had the timber industry was thriving, the silver industry was thriving, the agricultural industries were thriving, the resource industries were thriving. And now Idaho is struggling and suffering, as are most of the communities throughout the West, because we simply don't have access to our resources, to our lands, to managing them so that we could get to better access, better health, and better productivity. Instead, under federal management now, unfortunately, we're losing access. The health is diminishing and the productivity is depressed.
Ken Ivory with us, American Lands Council. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Now, you've worked with Speaker Bedke. You know folks here that are in our legislature. How pro-land friendly is the new Idaho legislature?
Well, I don't know all of your new folks. Speaker Bedke's been great. In fact, when we had the meeting last spring, Speaker Bedke and Speaker Lockhart were leading the gathering of Western lawmakers that we had in Salt Lake in April. There are a lot of concerns. I mean, as a speaker, you deal with a whole bunch of different things. We need to reengage and make sure we've got our game plan moving. But Speaker Bedke's been very encouraged, very encouraging, and has been a leader on this. We really need to develop the game plan where we've got the states working as an interstate compact to drive the litigation, to drive the legislation, and simply start taking this to the next level. But he's been a leader on this so far.
Is there one executive that really goes above and beyond in your mind?
You know, that's probably the weak link right now. The governors have really not taken much of a leading role. When you think of the opportunity with the Western Governors Association, my governor was the chairman of the Western Governors Association. I saw an email a couple of weeks ago on their top 10 issues and accomplishments for 2014, and this wasn't even in the list of the top 10. And, you know, governors are an interesting breed. They need to feel the support. They need to feel the encouragement. They need to feel the pressure from the people, because a governor is a team of one. A legislature, I've got 104 members in the House and Senate in Utah. We can all kind of hide in the woodwork. A governor's out there all by himself. And so we have to make sure that the people are persistent, they're vocal, that, as Reagan said, you help them see the light or you make them feel the heat. We got to make sure that our governors both see the light and feel the heat from the people every minute of every day, of every week, of every month, unless we want to simply submit and not have liberty and not have control of our property and let Washington continue to say, hey, we'll dole out pilt if you agree to give $40 billion a year in food stamps. We'll give you these payment in lieu of taxes that are only pennies on the dollar of the taxable value, and we'll continue to hold that over you and make your members of Congress have to make those terrible choices. We can continue down that road and subject our children to that and subject our children to not having economic self-reliance. Or we can stand up and we tell our governors and we tell our local and our state and our national representatives, doggone it, property is liberty. And liberty cannot exist, and life has no real meaning without the right and control of property. So get busy on our fundamental principles. We need to make that statement every minute of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year.
Ken Ivory, the American Lands Council, keep up the great work. Thank you for making time today.
Hey, Kevin, my pleasure. Keep getting the word out. Get people to the website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. Sign the petition. Tell all your friends.
Have a good day, Ken.
Thanks.
All right, our great friend Ken Ivory. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. We're joined by our great friend, Colonel Tim Marsano, joining us from the Idaho Air and Army National Guard. Colonel, it's been a while.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Thanks. How are you?
Living the dream. Certainly, before we get to a couple issues concerning housing and planes and trains and automobiles, a big event coming up with the Governor's Ball, and I know that folks at the Idaho Air and Army and the folks in the government working to make sure that event goes off without a hitch.
Yes, today at the steps of the Capitol, we have a public event. It's the public inauguration of the governor and the other constitutional officers of the state. So it's a great opportunity for the public to come out and see that. Hopefully the weather's going to cooperate for us. But we've done it many times over the course of the last 20 years or so. And so we've got some experience doing it, and we've been practicing. So hopefully it'll go off without a hitch. And then tomorrow night, as you mentioned, is the inaugural processional and ball. The door is open to the Capitol at 7. Tickets will be available at the door. It's a chance for the public to come out and meet and greet and rub elbows with the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the other constitutional officers. So we hope for a good turnout.
Well, it's always great to see people involved in the process, Colonel Marsano. Big news coming out of Gallen Field about possibly housing some folks from Mountain Home.
Yeah, we haven't heard the final decision yet from the Air Force, but we anticipate that our neighbors at Mountain Home Air Force Base will be sending at least some of their 54 F-15E Strike Eagle jets up to Boise while their runway is being resurfaced. You know, we've hosted units to include Mountain Home in the past, about maybe 5 times over the last dozen years or so. We've got the space, the facility, and we certainly look forward to having them if they are able to make it.
Colonel Tim Marsano with us here at 580KIDO. Colonel, we talk about the missions winding down, but it never really winds down for the Air Army National Guard, certainly in Idaho. Your thoughts on the missions that are going on around the world? Remember, we used to have you on a couple times a week when we had those deployments. Now, there are still deployments going on, but not as well widely publicized.
It doesn't slow down the way we train for them, Kevin, in any way, shape, or form. I remember back right after September 11, 2001, everybody was wondering what's going to happen with the Idaho National Guard. And what I said then still holds true. We're ready, willing, and able. And what I mean that we're ready. We train. We're prepared. We've got great folks. We keep recycling our people, bringing new ones in, as the old ones, like me, for example, soon to retire. We've got some fresh faces, and they're eager to do what needs to be done on behalf of our nation and on behalf of our state.
Well, saying ain't so that you're going to leave us.
Well, yeah, I think moving on, as we all have to do after nearly 32 years in uniform for me, that'll happen next summer.
It looks like you're just out of boot camp.
You're a good man.
What about some of the strains on the military? We've talked about the Apache program. We've talked about the A-10 program. And from the folks on the ground at Gowan Field, what are their thoughts? And the missions continue to, you know, no matter what people in Washington decide.
Well, you're exactly right. The A-10 mission on the Idaho Air National Guard side is going to be kept at least to this fiscal year, at least through September 30th of this year. So that's good news for the folks who fly and maintain this great aircraft. And on the Apache side, on the Army National Guard side, we're going to hold on to those two at least for a while. We don't know what the Army restructuring initiative is going to eventually mean for us. They are going to be looking to take Apaches back, put them on the active duty side rather than the Reserve National Guard side, but we don't know what that means exactly for us. But, yeah, future missions is kind of what we're looking at as these missions that we currently have going to the sunset.
You know, we discussed this earlier, and I saw in previous news reports, Colonel Tim Marsano with us here at 580KIDO, about the idea of the sorties. And so you can't have a lot all the sorties here because of environmental concerns, and people are concerned about that. Now, me, I would say have as many sorties as possible, but what is it, the concern about noise and pollution and such?
That's exactly right. It's those two items that restrict what these afterburning jets are able to do out of Boise. The plan is for a number of jets to come up here, whether it's 54 of the F-15Es from Mountain Home or whether it's a portion of those. They're going to be limited to doing 450 of these training flights over the course of the 120 days we expect to have them. But what we're going to do to try to mitigate noise and be good neighbors as best we can for these afterburning aircraft is to make sure that they get up to altitude as quickly as possible using their afterburns and then cut those things, which will greatly reduce the noise, and then to turn them immediately to the south towards the training ranges where they're going to be conducting their training.
Now, I did, because I follow Colonel Tim Marsano and his adventures, that to get all of them, it would be, what, 2,100 sorties or something like that?
Yeah, the number I'm hearing is I believe it's 2,200 sorties, and that would overwhelm the environment. So for that reason, we know that that's not going to happen. Whether that means that Mountain Home Air Force Base is going to be sending a portion of those 54 fighter jets to other places to conduct their training over these 120 days, we're just not sure. We're awaiting those final words.
No, Colonel, we're always so proud of the people that serve us and their families, but when we take a look at the mission of Gowan Field and Mountain Home and its place in the strategic defense of America, you talk to these folks. Where does the nation consider these bases?
I'm sorry, Kevin. Just repeat that last bit.
You know, the idea of, you know, how important these bases are, the training that goes on, we kind of take it for granted when we see the Apaches or the A-10s, but it's all a crucial part of our integrated national defense. And I just wonder, when you talk to folks from Washington or that come to visit, their impressions of Gowan Field and to another degree, I know it's outside your jurisdiction, Mountain Home, and how important those facilities and the training that goes on there each and every day is to our national defense.
Well, I think what the public sees from us in the Idaho National Guard are the flights, the Apaches, the Blackhawks, the A-10s, the Lakota helicopters, but that's just a small slice of the pie. As you know, we have a 140,000-acre training area about 15 miles south of Boise, and there are things that go on out there that are state-of-the-art and prepare our ground troops for what they're going to expect to see, you know, should they go to an unknown place in, you know, any part of the developing world. Every time I go out there, I'm amazed at the sights, the sounds, the smells that are replicated out there to prepare our folks as best as they can be prepared. When it comes to the training ranges, in southern Idaho, we've got state-of-the-art training ranges, and they're less hindered by commercial overflights than a lot of other places around the country and around the world. So right here in Idaho, we've got some of the best facilities in the world that are used by not only the Idaho National Guard, but by Mountain Home Air Force Base and other active duty installations from around the West and around the country. And we have our Canadian neighbors come down and use them as well. So state-of-the-art.
Yeah, I think it's important that we you know, sometimes we take that for granted. Colonel Tim Marsano with us, Kevin Miller at 580KIDO, as we continue on here. How are the folks doing? And, you know, we live in an instant gratification world, but the folks that came back from Afghanistan, the folks that came back from Iraq, I know it's been a few years, but I run into the Iraq guys occasionally. They go, hey, you were at the chow hall with me. How are they doing?
They're doing great. you know, you talk about instant gratification, and that's certainly the American way in a lot of things with our electronics and such, Instagram, Twitter, and so forth. We don't see it that way. We look at the long game, the long-term picture. When our folks come in right out of the assembly of basic training, and they're learning the nuts and bolts of how to salute, what the military structure is all about, our job is to prepare them over the course of months, weeks, years to be able to undertake the sorts of missions that you've seen with your own eyes, for example, as you deploy to Iraq to meet with our folks. So that is what we're all about. It's not the short game by any means.
No, not at all. And it's just amazing. I think sometimes we take that for granted, the duty and the sacrifice. And obviously when we had those two pilots killed, it brought a lot of that home, sir.
It absolutely did. I mean, these great soldiers made the ultimate sacrifice, and their families are still bearing the brunt, and they will for some time, and we're here to help them with any way that we can. So occasionally, unfortunately, this is part of what we do. When our men and women raise the right hand and swear the oaths of office, the allegiance to the Constitution of the state of Idaho and to the United States, they know that sometimes, unfortunately, the ultimate sacrifice must be made.
Well, and a lot of folks don't understand, and that's why, Colonel, we have you on here at 580KIDO, that, you know, the military makes the extraordinary ordinary. The fact that you get those MRAPs on the air transports and they can fly thousands of miles and the air refueling, and, you know, some of us have a bad day and a paper cut and we're distracted, and the folks in the military can't afford those things.
I'm constantly amazed when I see what my brothers in arms and my sisters in arms are doing on a day-to-day basis. They're dealing with high-speed electronic issues, for example, preparing for cyber warfare, you know, making sure that our systems in that realm are kept as safe and as well operating as possible. And then you got the guys that are out there in the foxholes and you know, preparing to go to war in places that they've never been to. There's great trepidation, of course, when you think about doing those things, but I'm always amazed at how well our men and women meet the challenge.
Colonel, final question. We're talking about these additional sorties. So for those of us in the outside world, it's not going to interfere with any of the planes at Boise coming in?
It's just impossible to say what's going to happen. First of all, we don't know that these planes are actually going to come. We're still waiting the final words from the Air Force as to where they want to move these assets. So we're standing by.
Well, I guess to rephrase the question, it's the military and the civilian folks always coordinate well when it comes to the FAA and the military.
Yeah, we do. We've got a great working relationship with the Boise Airport. The Boise Airport director is really part of our team, Rebecca Huff, and the FAA tower over there, to include the fact that we did some work with them in redrafting the flight rules to reduce the noise, to reduce the effect of the noise that might come from these fast-moving aircraft, should they come. On the folks of Boise. So we're really trying to be good neighbors as best we can, and these are the ways that we do it.
Colonel Tim Marsano, always good to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Likewise.
Have a great day.
You too.
Our great friend Colonel Tim Marsano joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama fall. Keep Obama in president, you know? He what? Gave us a phone.
He gave you
he
a phone?
Do more.
How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up. If you're on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Sometimes it's just too good to be true, right?
What I'm going to be talking about in Tennessee is, first of all, what a great job Tennessee has done in all kinds of education reform. But what I'm also going to do is announce a proposal that I'm going to be making to make sure that community college is accessible for everybody. Put simply, what I'd like to do is to see the first 2 years of community college free for everybody who's willing to work for it. That's right, free for everybody who's willing to work for it. It's something that we can accomplish, and it's something that will train our workforce so that we can compete with anybody in the world. So I hope you'll have a chance to tune in as we make these proposals, and I hope we've got a chance to make sure that Congress gets behind these kinds of efforts to ensure that even as we rebound and grow in 2015, that it benefits everybody and not just some.
There we have it. The President of the United States talking about raising our education standards. Of course, how are we going to pay for it? I just love the idea that we're going to continue to fund things, free health care, free phones. You remember this young lady that, blast from the past.
Everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in
place. Right. You get a free phone. You get a free home. You don't have to pay your mortgage. Now you don't have to pay your student loans. Now you don't have, free everything. Well, look, I want college for everyone, but don't you have to earn things in America? Well, at least part of us do, right? Time for traffic at 580 KIDO. 6:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, we'll speak with the head football coach of the College of Idaho, Mike Morawski, joining us. We'll talk a little bit about the Ducks or the Bucks and football here in the Treasure Valley. Looking forward to that. Thank the coach for making himself available. Of course, Monday is the national championship game. Kevin Miller in the morning, plus Republicans across the country, not only across the country, but here in Idaho, warming to the possibility of raising the gas tax. Remember, we had it here first. How about this? Just say no.